You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are joined, I believe, for the first time by Dr. Alan Bauer. He is an American citizen of Chicago originally, who has made Aliyah to Israel, where he lives with his family. He has a PhD in biochemistry. Dr. Bauer has an experience that I'm anxious to explore with him, painful though I know it is, involving firsthand victimization by the Palestinian terrorists who have been inflicting mayhem and carnage on Israelis for many years now. Dr. Bauer, it is very good of you to take some time. I appreciate you joining us. Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you very much, Frank, for having me. I appreciate very much you having me on your show.
Let me just ask, as we're talking about the Palestinian Authority, if you could just give us sort of at the 30,000-foot level, what is your experience of the role that the Palestinian Authority, PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, Fatah, whichever brand you want to use, is playing in fomenting and otherwise enabling terrorism?
That's an excellent question, and I think that in the U.S., there's a basic view over the past four administrations that Hamas is bad, as they state they want to wipe out Israel, and they do have done many, many attacks, and Fatah or PA is good. And the long and short is that when you look at the terrorists, you look at the flow of money, weapons, and you look at their own statements and documents that have been captured, the Palestinian Authority is a terrorist organization. I mean, in our case, guy who blew up was a Palestinian Authority policeman.
Tell us about your case involving a specific attack against you and your family by a Palestinian Authority-enabled terrorist.
Okay, my son and I were walking home on March 21st, 2002. I had an office downtown Jerusalem, and it was a very cold day. We were bundled up, and unbeknownst to me, there was a suicide bomber behind us, and he was a Palestinian policeman. He had been actually in Palestinian jail in Ramallah. He was released by a senior intelligence officer who then supplied him with the bomb.
A senior Palestinian intelligence officer.
That's correct. And actually, it says in the indictments that the bomb came from the office of the Palestinian CIA. And Marwan Barghouti, who is assumed to be the future leader of the Palestinians, he provided $600 to the cell the day before the attack. So this bomber, young man, who is from Nablus, he was brought downtown by two women who drove him into Jerusalem. They stood back while he made his way deeper into the crowd on King George Street, and he detonated himself, and he blew up right behind us. And I was thrown like a cannonball. I just saw smoke. I didn't hear anything. I just saw smoke on either side of me, and I fell about 15 feet forward, and I got up. My left hand was covered in blood. And so this was the height of the Intifada, so it didn't take very long to figure out what had happened. But I've been holding my son's hand with my left hand. We were walking home. He was 7 years old then. And I turned around and I did not see him. And so it was all smoke. Nothing was moving. There were bodies. There was debris. So I ran back and I saw a seven-year-old boy face down on King George Street on the sidewalk. And I picked him up and I just threw him over my head and I heard him moaning. And so that's the first inkling I had that he was alive. And so I ran with him in the direction that I've been thrown, and people started taking care of us. So I went back, got my bag. I saw one person who'd been killed. Three people were killed. A young couple, she was pregnant with twins. They just walked out of an ultrasound appointment when the guy blew up and both were killed. And another fellow who worked in a store, he left for an errand and he never came back. So I called my wife. We had gotten the first ambulance to leave the bombing site. And I had, they put a bandage on my left arm. Our son, they stripped him down to his underwear, and everything was fine. From his toes to his head, everything was fine. But then one of the paramedics, he removed a towel from the back of his head, and it was soaked in blood. So that was the first inkling that we had that he sustained a brain trauma. And it turned out that the head of a field crew had broken the backbone, passed fully through his right brain, and lodged itself in his front cranial bone. So I had two screws go through my left arm. He had this piece of shrapnel go through his brain. And at that point, we started into the new life. Whatever was up to that point was the one part of our life. And from that point forward, like the deal from 9/11, that was it. That was 0 point. And so we were taken to Hadassah Hospital. We both had surgeries. and we started a new life. And about 6 months after the attack, there were reports in the Israeli press who had done this attack. There were three people were killed and 81 were injured. So it was a very large attack. And they were all thoughts of PA people, as I mentioned, a PA policeman, an intelligence officer. So that was our driver to sue the PA. And so we joined 10 other families to sue them in U.S. court.
This is a case known as Sokolow versus PLO. I do want to ask you how your son is doing, but let's just talk a little bit about this case and specifically a shocking development involving the Trump administration's attitude towards it.
So we joined 10 other families, all who'd been harmed in Jerusalem during the Second Intifada, and we sued in the Southern District of New York. And that's in 2004. 2015, we actually got to court. And after a 7-week trial, we had a jury verdict that PLO and PA were found guilty of 24 counts. The jury assigned a judgment of $655.5 million. It was trebled. The actual damages were trebled. And it was extraordinary. It was a jury verdict. They took two half days to find the PA and the PLO guilty on everything. And then we found out that the Kerry State Department under President Obama was going to come in on the side of the PLO. They filed a statement of interest saying that if the PLO had to pay these monies, then the PA would go out of business, Hamas would take over, it'd be a disaster. So the judge lowered the appeals bond tremendously. They paid this small bond. They went to appeal, and the Second Circuit in New York said that the PA and PLO had their rights violated. They can't be sued in the U.S. They do not have minimum contacts to be considered to have jurisdiction over them. So the judgment was thrown out. So we took our case to the Supreme Court. We had the entire House of Representatives, 23 sitting senators, and 11 former heads of DOJ and FBI, Department of Justice and the FBI, with amici briefs saying this case has to be heard. It's very important, such as our case, with the entire Anti-Terror Act, as well as the jurisdiction of many, many different U.S. agencies overseas. And so the court asked the Trump administration, what is the opinion of the executive branch? This was in June, and it went on and on. And then last week, the end of February, they filed in the favor of the PLO and the Palestinian Authority. The Supreme Court does not need to hear this case. They bailed out murderers. And several of the people are the plaintiffs in this case. Their children were murdered at the Hebrew University. One fellow, he saw his daughter's hair hanging out of a body bag on TV, and that's how he found out his daughter had been killed. And the Trump administration threw the U.S. lot with these murders, now with American citizens, now with those of us who have gone through hell and back and what we've been through. They just like President Obama, said we're with the terrorists. And I expected more from President Trump, but obviously he thinks just like President Obama, you always have to bail out the PA. Anything you can do to save them, you have to save them. And even if you have to run over a bunch of Americans, you do that too.
Dr. Alan Bauer, this is shocking, to say the least, on so many different levels. We will be following this case very closely, and I can assure you we'll be having additional commentary on what's going on here. I can't imagine that the president actually stands with the Justice Department on this, but we need to find that out. How is your son doing now?
Thank God. We celebrated his 23rd birthday last week. He has a U.S. driver's license, Israeli driver's license. He's a wonderful boy. He flew a plane when we were in Vegas visiting my parents 2 years ago. Thank God. He's amazing. He's amazing. We're so thankful. We're so thankful that he's with us and that he's able to do everything he can do.
Thank you for being with us as well, Dr. Alan Bauer. I appreciate your time, and your suffering is something that must not go unaddressed. God bless you, sir. Next up, we'll speak with Daniel Greenfield. We'll discuss this and more with him right after this.